built out. You know, that's kind of funny. When I surrendered to preach, my wife said, "Well, I knew God would use that loud mouth for something." And so I was at my church preaching one time, and we have a deaf ministry, and there was this teenage boy, and he had one of the devices that they could actually mount in their head back here, and he was the only one there that day, and I started to preach, and he signed to the lady doing sign language. He said, "You don't have to sign for him. I can hear him." A deaf, you know, that's bad. That's bad when a deaf man can hear you, man. Good God. So, but I do thank the Lord for His grace. I thank the Lord for the, you know what? Nobody wanted me before Jesus wanted me.
Amen. All right.
Nobody had any use for me. I was a kid. I ran around all over creation, and nobody even. And then Jesus got it.
Amen.
So, you know, anything He asked me to do, I'm going to try to do it.
Amen. Bless Him, Lord.
That's how it is. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 4 so I can get a little bit of the context. I'm going to stop somewhere. Not that far. But I am going to stop probably about 4 or 5 verses down through here. And the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness."
Yeah.
We got issues
in
our society today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
"And be content with such things as ye have.
Amen.
For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Yes.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the great day You've given us. Dear Lord, if it was storming and raining, it would still be a great day. Dear Father, the fact that I've got a home in heaven, that I've got Your Holy Ghost that dwells inside me, that I've got Your Word to lead me, that I've got Christian friends, family, all around the world. It's amazing. Lord, I do ask You tonight that You'd help us to not be covetous.
Yes.
That You'd work in our hearts tonight. Yes. It's in the name of Jesus to ask these things. Amen. I'm going to try to preach tonight about covetous or content.
Yeah.
Covetous or content.
Bless Him.
We are in a world, a time, and honestly, I can't talk about the times back in the day because I wasn't back in the day. Amen. Sometimes I honestly believe that I might should have lived in another time because I feel like a dinosaur in this day and time.
Right. Amen.
But I guess God needs dinosaurs in every time.
Yeah.
I look at people and I'm thinking, man alive, what are you thinking?
Right.
I mean, I look at this scripture and he said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness."
Yeah.
"And be content with such things as you have."
Amen.
I was in a Sunday school class a long time ago, and the preacher was preaching, teaching, whatever you want to call it. And he was talking about covetousness, and he stopped halfway through that verse and just stopped at that point. And me being a preacher, I just kept reading. I do that a lot. The preacher be preaching, and I get rabbit trail. I won't even know what he's preaching. I'll be reading another part of the scripture, and Lord will give me something, and I'll start writing it down right in the middle of his preaching. I ain't even writing down what he's preaching. I'm writing down something else. And I kept reading, and it said, "And be content with such things as you have."
Uh-huh.
And I thought about some things we have. Now, I want you to listen to this. Exodus says this, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ephesians says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. I want you to look at where he puts covetous.
Bless him.
Who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Colossians says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Proverbs says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. I thought that was a pretty good description of covetousness. But the word content means to be filled up, satisfied.
Amen.
Now, I think we've got a little bit backward in some things.
Right.
I believe we've become content with the wrong things. And we covet the wrong things. We listen to whether it's the media or whatever it is, we fill our minds with all of these thoughts that the world has that are totally opposite of what God says.
Amen, brother.
I tell you what, so often we get, you know, it's amazing how many people are depressed in our day and time. Now, I work at a juvenile facility as a volunteer chaplain, and it amazes me at those teenagers. Now, brother, I don't ever remember being depressed when I was a kid. Honestly, maybe it's just my personality, though. Maybe I just didn't know anything. I just, you know, whiny, you know, never done. But I really don't remember being depressed. I would get on my bicycle in the morning, and I would ride all day long on my bicycle in the summertime. If there was a pond and some farmer didn't want me on there, he would have to chase me off. I mean, I don't remember being depressed. But I am telling you, a large percentage of the boys I deal with are depressed. I mean, we're all the time having to drag them off of a shoestring tied around them.
God help.
All the time with issues of these young men that are trying to kill themselves. I mean, we get boys that get to our facility, they done tried it 10 or 11 times before they ever get there. We're talking 13, 14, 15-year-old kids. And so I'm thinking, and in our society, our soldiers are coming back from war and they're destroyed. I'm just telling you, their mind is messed up. You cannot keep a mind in battlefield situations for as long as we're doing to these soldiers and not expect it to flip.
Right, that's right.
And they're coming back and they're killing themselves at alarming rates. So alarming that even the military, who won't admit to nothing, are saying, we got a problem. I'm talking about, I believe that's because we cannot find contentment. It's like, I believe it was Hosea or Haggai. He talked about you get your gold and everything, and you're putting it in a bag with holes. Nothing seems to be. It's like trying to grab the sand with a fork. Trying to have the things of the world in a time that there's no way for you to maintain that. And so I'm going to try to focus in on a couple words in this passage. It says, such things as ye have. Now, it might amaze you things that you think you have that you really don't have. Now, brother, I just last year paid off my double wide trailer in Polk County, Tennessee. Man, I am stepping up in the world, man. I mean, that's country out in nowhere, you know. I mean, there's nothing out there, okay? But you know what? If I don't continue to pay the property taxes, they're going to take that thing from me. It really ain't mine, brother. I'm just renting that piece of property.
Yeah, right.
True.
Right.
I'm talking about right now you got some healthy sales inside you, but you really They say everybody has cancer cells in their body.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I'm talking about things that we talk about, that we have. I mean this suit, I have this suit. Man, this thing's going to rot one day.
Yeah.
Talk about things that we think, that we value. We are valuing the wrong things, folks. I'm talking about just your jobs, but we're going to see some things that we have here in just a minute. And you're going to find out that a large portion of the things that you have, you can't even see.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says the things that you see are temporal.
Right. Amen.
But the things you don't see are eternal.
Amen.
So we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. We're going to look at verse 5. We're going to go down through here. We're going to see some things that we have tonight that cannot be taken away from you. Cannot. I mean, my car out there that I drove down here, it could be gone before I get to the house. My health could be gone before I get done with this message. Name it. If you can see it, it could be gone.
Amen.
That's right.
Set not your affection on things on earth.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Look in verse 5. The Bible says this. And as soon as he said, and be content with such things as you have, the very first thing he wants the Christians to know that they have is right there.
Yeah.
For he hath said, I will never leave thee,
amen,
nor forsake thee.
Amen.
I'll tell you the very first thing I've got when I got born again is I got a dear friend, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I got a dear friend.
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. John 15 says, greater love hath no man than this.
Amen.
That a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that friend.
Right.
I'm talking about that one that'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm talking about that Savior that laid his life down for our souls, for mankind, for people that hated him, for that Roman soldier that drove the nail, the spike, the whatever you want to call it, through his hands, through his body, for that, for you.
Amen.
Amen.
That may have put him up there, but you kept him there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it, brother. That's it.
I'm talking about dear friends. I'm talking about, hey, I tell you what, growing up, I just had a couple of people that I thought were friends. You just have to forgive me. I mean, I had some crazy people as friends. But I had just a couple of people that I thought were friends. And I tried to do what I should as a friend. And I remember I went off in the military. And one of my friends was a drunk teenager. Literally a drunk as a teenager. And I remember I would come in and I would visit him and he would be drunk early in the morning as I would come back from military and visit with him. And he wouldn't even know I was there. And then one day, I came in to visit and I was there at his house. I was talking to his mom and my friend Kelly comes walking out of the bedroom and he just says right out of the blue, "You deserted me." He was so drunk, bro. He was so drunk he never even knew I'd visited him while I was in the military. I'm talking about somebody who felt I deserted him, but to this day, he won't even hardly talk to me. I'm talking about that was a person I thought was my friend.
Right.
But I'm talking about in this scripture here that one that will never leave me nor forsake me, no matter where you go, no matter what condition you get in. Hey, I'm telling you what, he is far better than anyone that I've ever been around.
That's right. Amen.
I see. You know, you talk about the things that you don't have.
Yeah.
We sit around and complain, we don't have this and we don't have that. I tell you what, I don't have the condemnation of God on me no more.
Amen.
And I don't have hell as my home no more.
Amen.
And I don't have that load of sin that I had on me
yes.
no more.
Amen.
Hey, I'm telling you what, there's a whole bunch I don't have. I'm going to tell you tonight that we need to understand some things that we do have that the government can't take from us.
Yes.
That the person next to you can't take from you. Hey, it's eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
I got a dear friend tonight. I want you to look in verse 6 so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hey, I've got a dear friend tonight, but I've got a deliverer tonight.
Amen.
The Bible said in Psalm 118, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?
Amen.
I go in those prisons and boys are trying to say things to me. You know, the day I'm scared of any of those boys in there, I'll walk out of that prison that day. You can't, I don't care if you are 280 pounds. All you're doing is threatening me with heaven. Just make sure you kill me in the process. Don't let me suffer going down. Drop me at the... Hey, I'm just telling you, I've got a deliverer. I'm thinking about the Lord as from creation. The Bible said Jesus Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hey, he delivered Adam. Can you imagine as Adam was over there and he had sinned? He had never sinned, known sin.
That's right.
I can't imagine.
Right.
But he sinned.
Yeah.
And he had that feeling of sin in his heart and in his soul. And he goes and hides over in the trees. And the Lord comes walking down through there and says, Adam, where art thou?
Yeah, right.
And he delivered him.
Right.
He delivered him there. I see him delivering Adam. I see him delivering Noah. Can you imagine as Noah found grace in the eyes of God as he was over there and he was just doing his daily thing and God said, you better build a boat.
Yeah.
Hey, it's fixing to rain.
What's rain?
They didn't know what rain was. I mean, it's fixing to rain. It's going to pour water. The earth is going to disappear. You better... Why would they even need a boat? But a boat. He delivered Noah.
Right.
Out of the... You know what? He delivered him from the flooding waters, but he also delivered him from that wicked world that he is living in. Hey, have you ever been delivered? I'm just wondering tonight, is there anybody that's ever been delivered? I got delivered when I got born again, but he's been delivering me, delivering me, delivering me time and time again. He's a deliverer. He delivered Moses.
Amen.
Oh, can you see Moses, that little baby? Mama chunks him out there into the water. Alligators out there. Have you ever thought of the alligators? What was she thinking? Alligators out there, Moses floating around, didn't even know anything, but God was going,
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
He delivered Moses.
That's right. Amen.
He delivered all through the Bible. You can look. He delivered Paul. He delivered John. He delivered me. Has he delivered you tonight? Has he delivered you from your sin tonight? Has he delivered you from your bondage of whatever's got a hold of you?
Amen.
We're talking about a deliverer. We have a deliverer.
Yes.
I want you to look in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God. We not only have a deliverer tonight, and we have a dear friend, but we have a director tonight.
Amen.
Yeah.
That word of God. I don't know if you've been in that book today, but I'm going to tell you, that word of God, the Bible says this in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
Uh-huh.
You know why we ain't in the book? We don't like it cleaning us.
Right, that's it, brother.
We don't like it cleaning us.
Right.
You know why we don't go to church? Well, we don't like that conviction.
Right.
You know when I boys at my prison, when they start avoiding me, I know when they're in trouble. I know they're getting into mess. I know. Hey, I ask them, do you have any questions? And they say no. I said, you ain't been reading your Bible, have you?
Right.
Because every time I read my Bible, I got a question.
Right.
What in the world is this? I mean, you know, hey, if you ain't got no questions, you ain't reading it.
Right. All right. That's good.
You have a director tonight.
Amen.
Are you wandering around in a wrong place? Do you really know which direction you're going? The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Y'all know the difference between a lamp and a light? A lamp and a light. Hey, you know what? I've got the Word of God, and I'm going through a dark world, and this world's getting darker every day, and I've got the Word of God, and the Bible says that it's a lamp unto my feet. I know what people say that they, which I don't understand, but they said that they have a little lamp down there near their feet. But a lamp, how many ever had kerosene lamps? Okay, I had them too. Yeah, I'm right at that generation. Kerosene lamp, honestly, does not do very much. I love incandescent lights, and I hate the little stupid things that we got to use now.
Yeah.
What are they, little? The fluorescent things. You turn them on, and by the time they've brightened up, you're done out of the room. Takes me back to the days of the kerosene lamp. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. One thing that a kerosene lamp's good for is immediate area.
Yeah.
That Word of God can light my next step. It can get detailed to my next step and let me know where I'm walking in this world step by step. It's a lamp unto my feet, but it also says it's a light unto my path. Hey, it'll reach out there, and it'll give me some light on down the way. Hey, I don't have to wonder what's down there now.
Right. Amen.
The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. The righteous is as a shining light.
Yes.
They shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know, I got a good description of that one day. When I was in the Air Force, I got to ride on an F-15E fighter jet. I got an incentive ride on that dude, man. I'm talking, it was moving on down the way. Well, we're taking off, when you go through a little bit of training prior to, and you know how to throw up in a bag and all that stuff, and you think I'm kidding, mate. You better know that because they don't like you throwing up in their little mask thing. Bad deal. And so they have these pants that you put on. And they're like blood pressure cuffs. You know, those things that they air up, that's what they're like, a whole pant like that. And they're plugged into the side of the jet. You say, why would you need something like that? When those things start pulling 6 and 7 G's, your blood goes out of your head and into your legs.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. So we get in that airplane, and I'm sitting there. We're at the end of the runway fixing to take off, and the pilot says, hey, I got clearance for a straight vertical to take off on this runway. I said, good to go. We start to taxi, 120 knots, it lifts off. I'm talking in a short distance, we're already off the ground. Flying straight down the runway, about 20 feet off the ground. He takes straight vertical. Boom! Straight up through there. And I'm in there and I feel like my pants airing up. Squeezing that blood out of my legs. And I see, I mean, that quick, this is what happened. All I see is a little point of light way out there. Everything else is black. And man, I mean, I'm struggling looking at that light. I mean, I'm focused on that little bit of light that's way out there. And then we get way, I don't know how high we was up, and he just flips us upside down. And I'm looking through the canopy back down through the clouds at the airfield down there. And that blood comes back to my head. And that vision went from that little dot to full view. Hey, that's like what I got to say. I just seen a little dot out there. And I focused on that little dot. But I tell you what, through the years, as the Lord's blessed, and I've been in that book, hey, it's been full vision. Hey, I'm telling you what tonight. Hey, you know what it caused you to faint?
Yeah.
Lack of blood to the brain. You know what has caused you to faint in the work of God? Lack of blood on the brain.
Yeah. That's good, brother. Yeah.
Amen.
Good, brother.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You keep the blood of Christ in your thoughts.
Yeah.
You won't faint in the work.
Amen.
That's good, brother.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that he had to make a part of the church to where we would even remember what he did?
That's right, brother. That's good.
I'm talking about the Word of God. It's the director of our life. It's what guides us in life. Hey, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and leads us down the path that we're to follow. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're over here somewhere and and the Lord's over here, it's probably because you strayed from that book.
Right. Amen.
I see not only he, we have a dear friend, we have a deliverer, we have a director tonight.
Yes.
I want you to look. Verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines.
Yeah.
We have the right doctrine tonight.
Hey, anybody tries.
I don't apologize for being a Baptist.
Hey, anybody.
I don't. I know there's some crazy lunatic Baptists.
Right.
I know that there's some crazy Baptist churches.
Right.
Okay? I preached all over the place, and there are some places that, I mean, just off the wall. I mean, I've had some crazy stuff done to me.
Right.
I ain't even going to say some of this crazy stuff. I mean, you all would think I was in some other place. But I'm telling you this tonight. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines.
Right.
It says right here in the Scriptures, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace.
Yes.
Amen.
True Christianity is the only belief that is not a works salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
We are a group of people that believe the only way to heaven is through the grace of God and me placing my faith in what He done on the cross of Calvary. We have the right doctrine. Hey, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you believe that you're getting to heaven by your works, then you're telling Jesus that what He did was not good enough. And you've got to help Him get you to heaven. And I'm telling you tonight that it's only by the grace of God that I am what I am. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm going to go to heaven when I die.
Amen.
We got the right doctrine tonight. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, we have the right doctrine.
Amen.
We have the right doctrine. Don't you hang your head one bit when these knuckleheads come up to you and start telling you about their other teachings.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And I could name all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right.
But I'm telling you this, if they add works to it, you better run away from them.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Hey,
right,
man.
That's
right. Boy.
Come on, brother.
You know why? Because we're watching a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
That ain't true.
That's it, brother. Yeah.
You're right, brother.
Be not carried about with strange and diverse doctrine.
That's right, brother.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is a good thing that the heart be established grace and not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have the right doctrine tonight. I want you to know that we have the dear friend, we have the deliverer, we have the director, we have the right doctrine. I want you to look in verse 10. We have an altar.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something here in just a second that you might have never seen. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Is it not strange that the Lord said in that scripture that He related the altar with eating?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many of y'all got a little hungry today at some point? Preacher, I believe that's why we got so many complaining, gripey Christians. Saved people. They ain't been eating at the altar.
Amen.
They ain't been spending time. I ain't talking necessarily about this board up here at the front of the church. I'm talking about that one you should have at your house too. I'm talking about that one, that place where you got to get along away from your kid, your knucklehead, rugrat kids. Mama, find you a place where they ain't.
Right.
Yeah, that's it, brother.
Brother, turn your phone off when you go to pray.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm telling you, you need some food, and it's got right there.
Right. Amen.
You get nourishment right there. You get strength for the work right there. Hey, Elijah, I believe it was, where he had ran from Jezebel, and he was over there, and he had went without food, and the Bible said that the Lord brought him food. And he went back to sleep and the Lord brought him food. He said, you're not strong enough yet. And he prayed to God. And the Bible said he went in the strength of that. For 30 days, I believe it was. How strong are you down here? We have an altar. They say you can't pray in school. Really? I didn't even know much about praying when I was in school. But I guarantee you, as little as I studied for those tests, it was time to pray when it was test time. And there wasn't nobody that could stop me from praying. How can they stop you from praying, brother? They can't. You don't got to stand up and throw down like a preacher in your prayer. Hey, you can talk to the Lord, and they don't even know it. I'm telling you, hey, we have an altar. We have a place where we can come to the Lord. Bible said that the Lord, he said, I go to prepare you a place. The mansions were there. You know, I wonder about that place he prepared. I believe he prepared a place of mercy for me. I believe he prepared a place that I could come to him. When that veil in the temple rent from top to bottom, and I was able to go into the Holy of Holies in my prayer time, he gave me a place that I could feed my soul. He told the Samaritan woman that there's a well that would spring up.
Yeah.
We have divine intercession. The Bible says tonight to pray without ceasing. The Bible says in Philippians, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care for something.
Amen.
Take it to Jesus.
Amen, sir.
I take it to Jesus. I remember when I first surrendered to the ministry, and I was on deputation, and then I quit my job. The week after Christmas was my last week of work. And I was in a mission conference that week, and then I had a church meeting in Alabama the week after I quit my job. And I kid you not, I didn't eat that whole week. I was scared to death. I mean, I'd always just work. I mean, if I needed more money, I would work, go out and help some farmer put up a fence. I'd just work some more hours. Just work. But now, I had to depend on God.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to depend on him all the time, even when we're... But, you know, we don't really do that back there. Come on now. Shake your little heads up and down. I didn't eat that whole week, and I went and preached in this church down in Alabama, and they took up an offering for us afterwards, and it was, honestly, until a few years ago, it was the largest offering that I'd ever received, and it was a tiny church. And they took up that offering for us, and I'm driving up the road. I had and Susan's over there counting, and she said, pull over just a minute. Am I telling the truth? She said, pull over just a minute. So I pulled over. Pulled over on the side of the road. She turned the light on. She told me how much that offering was. I ain't had a problem eating since. I eat now. Even when I heard, I eat some. I can't even eat fried, but he brought out some fried pickles today, and I had to tear the stuff off of it and eat the fried pickle inside. And I had to take a tongue just a minute ago in the future. I'm talking about the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, let me tell you something. I can take care of you with a few or a lot.
Right.
Don't you worry about me taking care of you.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm talking about we have an altar.
Yes, sir.
We have a place that we can go to the Lord at.
Right.
You just need to find where that place is at and go to it.
Yeah.
I see we have divine intercession. I want you to look in verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. I got two more points for you and I'll be done. We've got a duty tonight. I know we serve the Lord because we love Him and because He loved us.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, we have a duty tonight.
That's right.
We owe Him to serve Him.
Amen.
We have a duty. He said, let us go forth therefore without the camp bearing His reproach. How many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have actually been mocked or made fun of just because you were a Christian?
Right.
There's a few that have.
Yeah.
I would say there's some in this congregation, and I ain't talking about just preachers. There's a few that have.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a duty. To bear the reproach of the cross. I'm not talking about going out and being rude to people, but I'm talking about going out and being who you're supposed to be and who I'm supposed to be, and let the chips fall where they may, and let people say what they will, let people do what they will, but we have a duty to tell them about the cross and tell them about what God's done in our life. And don't be ashamed of the man that died for you and me on the cross. We have a duty. Luke says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
Right. Yes.
I was talking about plowing. When I was young, my papa would plow with a mule and a horse. And I remember that he would take and he would line up something on the other end of that garden between the ears of that mule. Didn't have no GPS. He'd line up those ears sticking up, and he would get a rock or something on the other side, and he'd focus that thing. He did not turn around like this. What, see my arms? Well, you can plant crooked rows, but it's hard to harvest them. I'm going to tell you in life, when you're always looking back at that stuff that you want that ain't right, your roads are going to be going like this.
Right.
That's
good. Yep. Amen.
And you're going to plant them. If they don't come up as easy as they went down.
Right.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, we have a duty. We have a duty. Keep our eyes focused on the prize at the other end. Hey, I'm telling you what, when I used to run, I didn't run and just look like this all the time when I would run those marathons. I would run looking at the horizon. And you better look at the horizon, buddy. I'm telling you, if you're going to run the race for Christ, you better look at the horizon out there, because He's coming back one day. I'm going to tell you, you don't look at the grass. You look out there. When I drive down the road, I'm about 7 or 8 cars in front of me because I want to see that stuff coming before it gets to me. If all you're looking at is the bumper in front of you, you're going to hit that bumper. I'm talking about a duty. Get your head up, folks. Look on out there. That Bible's giving you light way out there and right here. Look on out there. Don't worry about what's immediate right here. The Lord's got something on out there for us.
Right.
Amen. I see the duty. We've got a duty to serve. We got a duty. Romans says, I beseech you, I preach this by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Romans 1:14 says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Don't you hate owing somebody? I mean, I don't like it at all. I really don't. I mean, as long as you owe somebody, they can just put the pressure on you.
Yeah.
So take the gospel to everybody so you don't owe them no more.
That's right.
So that when we stand before God, there's not blood on our hands.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God help us.
Be the witness in your field.
Yes, amen.
Food City, you know, you're the second person. I was at a church up in Knoxville, and the guy in that church is the manager of the seafood section at Food City up there. Did you know Food City is owned by one individual and not a group? That's that useful information that I have.
He's in town right now.
He's in town. One guy owns all the Food Cities. Pretty amazing. Good corporation, I hear. We have a duty. And last of all, I want you to look in verse 14. And I'll be done. And you can get ready to go to school tomorrow. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
Yes.
We have a destination. Man, I tell you what, I go a lot, and my mom always gives me a hard time. Eric, where are you going to slow down? Hey, you know what? One day I'm going to be dead, and I'll slow down then. You know, and if God wants me to slow down some, He'll just give me some sickness or something. But I'm going to go, and I'm going to go, because one day there's a place on the other side of this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Amen.
I'm not grown into this world. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger.
Yes.
I'm telling you what we see in this scripture. I'm going to read you some scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 says this. Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off."
Yeah.
We were talking, I think it was today, at the dinner table, about vision.
Yeah.
You know, there's 2D and there's 3D.
Yeah.
But there's other dimensions besides 3D. Because the Bible tells us that there's angels all around us.
Yeah.
And we don't see them.
Yeah. Right.
And the Bible said, I believe it was Elisha that had his servant with him, and his servant was all nervous, and God, and Elisha said, "Oh God, open his eyes that he may see."
Yeah. Yeah.
All the angels that were around that city that was defending them.
Yeah.
I believe today that we need a glimpse of that heavenly city.
Yeah.
I believe we need a glimpse of that just beyond, that we can't see with our eyes right now. But one day we're going to see. We're going to see the Lord. We're going to see the angels. We're going to see the seraphims. We're going to see the street of gold. We're going to see all this stuff. Hey, I'm telling you what. They had not received the promises, but they had seen them.
Amen. That's right.
Have you got that glimpse of the other side?
Amen.
The Bible said here, "Had seen them afar off and were persuaded and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city."
Amen.
We have a destination.
Amen.
When I was coming home from Desert Storm, the desert the first time, I went over there twice. I mean, everything was about this color. Well, no, it was lighter than that. It was about the color of that pulpit. But everything was just that color. I mean, we were that color. And we're just, I mean, everything you see was that color. I mean, I came from the hills of Tennessee. I mean, and I remember stopping off in Ireland on the way home. And it's just like the pictures. I mean, I had never seen anywhere as green as that place is. And it was unbelievable. And I remember sitting down in that airport, and I still had my brown clothes on from the desert. Had them on for 2 days. I'm sitting there looking out, and I'm thinking, man, it sure is pretty out there.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't stay in Ireland. You know why? Because my home was on across the sea.
Yeah, right.
I didn't drag around in Ireland.
Yeah.
I didn't say, you know what? I'm going to stay here. I said, no, I've got a home on the other side. I'm headed across that sea. And I'm going to tell you, church, don't let your roots get too deep on this earth. Hey, I'm telling you, don't dig down here. Make it easy when He calls for you. I'm telling you, we've got a home on the other side. The Bible says in Peter, it says this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know why I don't like flying Southwest Airlines? Because you don't have reserved seats. I fly Delta, so I got a seat number. And you can get out of my seat if you're sitting in mine. I get the aisle seat because my legs won't fit in those little old bitty rows that they got now. You know what I like? The passage said I got a place reserved.
Right. Amen.
For me.
Right.
I tell those boys in my prison, that prison wasn't made for you. It's got little pads on the little cushions about that thick as mattresses that they sleep on. If you're 6 feet tall, your feet hang off the end. Hey, I'm telling you, what a toilet in your room there. And you have to go out there and take a shower where everybody else is out there. Hey, that place wasn't made for you. And then I start talking about their home. You know, that bed cushion about that thick. And you know, you got sheets that are softer, you know, and you know, and shoes that don't, that are, you know what I'm saying. You know, all that stuff that you enjoy. Let me tell you something, lost friend. If you die and go to hell, you'll go to a place that was not prepared for you.
Amen.
You'll go to a place that was prepared to torment the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
And if it's going to torment him, what do you think it's going to do to a human?
That's right.
I'm talking about but Christian friends. We've got a place that was made for us.
Amen.
Reserved in heaven. I got one more verse of scripture for you and then I'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yeah.
Church, y'all gonna have your Easter egg hunt. You got a bunch of little knuckleheads gonna run around here. And you're going to focus on what you're seeing.
Yep.
But inside every one of those little knuckleheads is something you can't see.
Right. That's right. Brother.
Which is eternal.
That's right. Brother. That's it. What it's about right there.
I'm talking about don't focus on what you're seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, all this presidential stuff that's bad deal. Our nation that isn't what it was.
Right.
Our churches that ain't what they
That's
were.
That's right. Amen.
Our families, I mean, that ain't what they were.
Right.
Let's focus on those things that with this eye we can't see.
Right. Amen.
But that was spiritual eye that they saw with afar off.
Yeah.
Let's focus on that.
Amen.
Everybody stand. Let's pray. I know it's Tuesday. You've been through 4 messages and a Sunday school. We got tomorrow night.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, I really believe our time is short.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The salt is leaving.
Yes, that's right.
And what we're going to do for the cause of Christ, we better get at it.
That's right.
Amen.
We better get at it. Amen. Let's pray, and then you can...